Well, good afternoon. Sure appreciate the privilege of being here. In the flesh, I'd rather someone else be up here than me. But the Lord put a burden on my heart, and I want to be faithful to give what the Lord gave me. My name's Joseph Gallenbeck. I'm from Kentucky, and I'm greatly in need of the Lord this afternoon. I'd like to turn to Psalm 127 and the third verse. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. I don't have grown children, and I don't feel qualified this morning to give advice in any situation that you could bring to me. But I feel inspired to give some scriptures. And you can take those scriptures and their promises from God, and they will work. And we have followed different things that we have been inspired with in the scriptures, and we've seen them work. And so if you'll allow me, I would like to give some of the scriptures. The Lord brought this message to me, and I feel a real burden to share it this afternoon. So if you would pray for me, I would appreciate it. You know, this scripture is talking, it says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children in the youth. And I thought about the comparison that's made there. And the things that the psalmist, I believe, is wanting us to get a hold of. And maybe you can think of some things that I haven't thought of. But the way that I've been inspired with this is that my children, I just want to be a springboard for them. I want to be somebody that can launch them, that can catapult them. And I've told them, I want you to go beyond what I've been able to go. I want you to do more than I've done. I want you, if the Lord gave me a talent in one area, I'd like you to surpass me. I'm not in competition with you. I think sometimes envy doesn't really know any bounds, does it? I think that sometimes as our children get older, we tend in the flesh to get afraid that maybe our children will be able to one-up us in some area. I want my children to one-up me. I want them to do things that I've never done before. I want to be able to provide a platform for them. If I've been able to break some ground in a certain area, I want them to build the house. I want them to be able to carry forward. If the Lord put a burden on my heart for some work and the Lord leads my children in the same work, I want to be able, if I've just laid a foundation, I want them to be able to frame it up. And I believe that the Lord has this desire too. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man. What does a mighty man do with arrows? He can shoot them a lot farther than a weak man, can't he? I believe that the Lord would have us. I've made the remark before. I've said, you know, I wish I could do more for the Lord, but I have five children, and it's so hard because I've got my time so divided. You know how much work it is to get five more people to come to your congregation and stay there? It's not easy, is it? I feel like that if we could get a hold of us, get a hold of this, we would realize that the Lord gave us, if He gives us children, and I know not everybody has children and all that, and some of you here are past raising children, and you know that's something you did in your past. But this is the burden that I believe the Lord gave me. I don't know if it's more for us here or more for the people online or for people that will listen in the future. But I feel like the Lord dealt with me and said, these are five people that can do so much. I can only do so much. And the Lord will multiply our efforts. But I believe that part of the way that He multiplies our efforts is to take those children and have them to be able to build on the foundations that we lay in their lives and to do so much more than we ever could. And I believe that's part of God's plan. I want to go to Judges, the second chapter, and look at a couple verses there. You know, arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Arrows can go so far. I'm amazed at how far an arrow can travel when you shoot it with a lot of force. It has a lot of momentum. The feathers are straight on it. It's not bent. It's not crooked. It's not crippled in any way. And it can go a long way. It can find a target. It can do a lot of damage. It can go afar. The people that, remember what happened with King Ahab? And he was fighting that battle, and it said that, and I believe the Lord did this, an arrow went and smote him between the joints of the harness. It was between maybe two pieces of armor, something that whoever shot it couldn't have ever had a chance to do that with a sword. I believe that if we can get a vision of what we have in our hands when we have children and we're training them, we have so much potential and there's so much that can happen and there can be such a benefit to our congregation and there can be so much benefit to the work of the Lord. And sometimes we think, well, I just wish I could hurry up and get these raised so I can work for the Lord. If you're raising children, you're working for the Lord. And I know I wrote sharp arrows on the board, and I know that's not part of the word sharp isn't in the scripture, but do you think that this scripture is talking about a mighty man shooting blunt arrows? They find their target. They accomplish things. It says, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them, and I'm not, you know, I feel like I have a pretty full quiver this morning, and it's plenty full enough for me, but you know, you don't have to have that many or 10 or whatever for the Lord to... I believe that the Lord gives more to some people than He does to others. And I believe that you can have just one and be very happy if that's what the Lord gives you. It says, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And I'm going to get that... I'll get the scripture in Judges in just a moment. But the word ashamed, another translation, it says, they will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. And the word ashamed here means, in the Hebrew, confounded or put to shame, to fall before their enemies. People that, this is talking about a generation of people that if you shoot them far, like the Lord wants you to, and they go where they're supposed to go, and they do what they're supposed to do, and they're not crippled by things, by generational problems and things, that there will be forces and principalities and powers that will be put to shame and not put us to shame. You understand what I'm trying to say this morning? Judges, the second chapter and the 7th verse. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that He did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And it says that there also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works He had done for Israel. I know this isn't really talking about children, but I believe that there's a thought to get a hold of here. It says that all the people served the Lord in the days of Joshua. And then it says that they served the Lord in all the days of all the elders that outlived Joshua. And it takes care to point that out. You know what that is? You know what that says to me? That Joshua did something. Remember what he said is it Deuteronomy? Yeah, Joshua 24, he said, you can do whatever you want to. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I don't believe that Joshua was a perfect man with no faults. I don't believe that he was somebody that never had to apologize and all of that. He didn't even have the Holy Spirit living in him like we do today. And yet, I believe the key. This is the first key that I want to give us. I think it's the most important. He was sold out. This man was sold out to serve the Lord. I believe, I have told the Lord, I have begged the Lord. And I want to just tell you, I as a parent have already made, I feel like, a boatload of mistakes. And I'm probably making some right now. But I have begged the Lord, Lord, I'm doing the best I can. But Lord, yeah, am I the only one in here that has asked, I wonder why they didn't give it, why God didn't give us a couple practice children first, and then we could have the real thing. There's so many mistakes that I feel like I've made. But I've begged the Lord, Lord, you gave us these. And there's a calling that comes with it. Lord, I know I'm making mistakes, but I'm trying my best to serve you, and I'm trying my best to fulfill the calling that you gave to me. Lord, would you please take up my slack? Would you heal the places that I've unintentionally broken? Would you please be a balancing, stabilizing force in my children's lives? You know, I believe that if your parents this morning and you have children, I'm just going to tell you right off, you can be as filled with the Holy Spirit as anyone there ever was, and you are going to make mistakes. You're going to come up short sometimes. You're going to get things wrong. You're going to assess situations incorrectly at times. You're going to give out punishment. And hopefully not too many of these times, but I will tell you that there's been at least one time, and I think more, that I've had to go back to one of my children and say, I didn't understand that situation, and I got you in trouble, and I'm sorry, and I wish I wouldn't have done that. And don't be afraid to do that. I'm going to try not to step over my bounds here. I have young children, and the story's not told. I just want to give you some scriptures. All the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, what it says to me, that Joshua, it's not that he got everything right. It's not that he lived an entirely perfect life, but his heart was to serve the Lord. And somehow, he was able to communicate that element, that desire, and the Lord walked with him, and he was able to impart that flame to the next generation of people that lived after him. It said that they served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and then they served the Lord all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. Somehow along the way, I believe there were some things that the children of Israel said they were serving the Lord, but somehow they weren't able to carry that same flame. They didn't have that same focus, that same wholehearted servitude to the Lord where they were all in. They were serving the Lord, but somehow it didn't carry on to the next generation. I believe that we as parents, that we need to have our heart all in for serving the Lord. Not just tell our children, you know, the scripture says, train up a child in the way he should go. It goes far beyond telling our children, you need to be saved. You need to serve the Lord. You need to do this and you need to do that. You know, part of training, I've trained a lot of people in woodworking, and it doesn't usually do nearly as much good to tell them what to do as it does to do it myself and show them how it's done. If I tell somebody, don't ever cut crown molding this way, and then occasionally they catch me cutting crown molding that way, what do you think they're going to learn? They're going to learn that sometimes it's okay to cut crown molding that way, even though I said not to. I had someone tell me one time, And this was somebody that was not living for the Lord in any way. And yet they told me, I'm always going to put my children first. I'm always going to give my children the very best that I can. And I didn't have the opportunity to say this at the time, but my thought was, if you want to put your children first, serve the Lord with all your heart. Don't serve Him half-heartedly. That's the way to put your children. There's so many children these days that are growing up entitled, feeling entitled. I deserve this and I deserve that. And you know, I believe that when children are born, they're probably some of the most selfish creatures on earth. They're cute little babies, but they're selfish. I heard somebody say, and I mentioned this to somebody before service, I heard somebody say, and I thought it was kind of good, really. There's some truth to it. God made children weak so they wouldn't kill us. And He made them cute so we wouldn't kill them. I believe that, obviously, don't take it quite literally, but do you know what would happen if little babies had the same strength as an adult? It wouldn't be good, would it? It's our job as parents. And I don't want to go into the details because some of you here, maybe somebody that when I'm done can get up and give out some specifics and things. But I believe that the Scripture teaches us that it's, as parents, it's our job to start weeding those things out as soon as we can. To teach them that there's somebody more important than me. There's causes more important than mine. All the toys aren't mine. They're whoever's comes to play and that sort of thing. All right. You know, I believe that the Lord made the strongest unit, team in the world, is a husband and a wife that are unified and following the Lord. I believe that God, and we're going to get to some scriptures here in a minute, but I believe that a husband and a wife that are following the Lord and that are a united team are unstoppable. The Lord gives each of us different strengths, different things that we bring into a marriage that are just right for giving our children what they need. He said, and we won't turn there, but in 1 John 2 and 14, He said, I have written unto you, fathers, because you know Him that has been from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong. And the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. I want to tell you, men, today, the Lord made you strong. He made you physically strong. He made you emotionally strong. I know there are sometimes some things that impair people. And I'm not really talking about the exceptions this morning, but as a general rule, the Lord made men strong. What that means is that if you are in a marriage and you have children, that you are the gatekeeper of the home. There are things that, you know, the Lord gave, and we'll talk about the characteristics, some of the things that the Lord gave to mothers in a minute. But the Lord put a special burden on my heart. I need to watch the things that come into my home. I believe that the Lord even gave us some discernment that maybe He didn't give the mothers as much in some of these areas. The Lord wants us to be watchmen and gatekeepers. The Lord wants us to stand in the face sometimes of things and forces that are trying to penetrate our home and stay up late praying if we need to. Get up early seeking the Lord if you need to. Be firm when you need to. The thing I'm not talking about in a carnal way, but the Lord gave that into our hands. I believe that it's a really good thing for us to have family worship as a family. And I'll just tell you, we try as a family. You do it the way the Lord tells you to do it. But we try to get together pretty much every single evening and have a time of family worship. I believe that it's a good thing for the man to be the leader in that kind of thing. To have something to come prepared with something that's an encouragement, a blessing, and an instruction to the family. I believe that the Lord gave us these things as men because He wants us to pass them down to our children. We're strong, and He wants us to teach our children to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He wants us to teach them. You know, we can tell them all day long. Think about it like this. An average adult knows between 20 and 35,000 words in the English language. Okay? Look this up before service. I thought it was about 30,000. The source I read today says between 20 and 35. One source said up to 40,000. You know how children learn a language? There's a few words that my children have said, "Daddy, what's that mean?" And I've had to explain it to them. But that's not how they learn most of their words. They learn them by context. They learn them by what I'm doing that demonstrates what that word means. They learn it by what the word, how the word fits between the other words that I'm speaking to them. And by the time they're 2 and 3 years old, they have usually got a very good grasp of language. And they can speak, and they have sentence structures and proper grammar patterns and all of that. It amazes me. Is it not amazing how fast children learn to talk? So, if you follow the same line of thought, if we tell our children, this is what you do, and this is what you do, and they see that we have, if I say, children, serving the Lord is the most important thing, but yet I'm doing things that undermine that statement or that make it not quite accurate, how long do you think it will be before our children pick up on that? If I have a piece of furniture and I say, and I tell my children every day, children, this is the most important possession we have. It belonged to Frederick the Great back in whatever. And it's valuable, and it's the most valuable thing we have. You know, I can tell them every day. I can tell them that every day. But if they see me taking it outside to stand on so that I can paint the top of the fence, and if they see me shove it out of the way if I'm in a hurry, you know what they're going to get in their mind? They might say at first, you know, I don't know how important that is to Dad, but that's not the most important thing to him. And they might not even articulate it in their heads, but that's the subconscious thought that they're going to have. We are teaching our children, and they think, I've learned, and I'm learning, that children normalize the way they grow up. And they think this is the way that all children grow up. And even people that are in abusive homes can feel that way too. And that's one of the reasons why generational problems get passed down. Because that's the only way they know how to do it. May the Lord help us to be able as parents to shoot sharp, straight arrows a long ways. And to be happy when they outdo us. When they perform better and make fewer mistakes that we've made in some of the paths that we've trod. You know, there's a scripture in 1 Thessalonians 2 and 7. It says, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we are willing to have imparted unto you, not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear to us. The word nurse here, I looked it up in the Greek, and it means a nursing mother. It means somebody, a caregiver, somebody that's... you know that God gave mothers everything they need to nurture a child? It's amazing. It's amazing. The feelings and the emotions that are inside, and and everything about them. He gave them to provide things that we as men just don't do as good a job at. But the team together, I know that the Lord doesn't, that there's situations sometimes when there's not two parents. But I believe that a two-parent situation is the optimal situation in which to raise a family. It's an unstoppable team. And if you're raising a child this morning and you don't and can't have that situation, I still believe that the Lord can make up deficits in our lives. And He can help us. And He can give us strength that we didn't have otherwise. And He can give us wisdom that maybe somebody else would have had. I believe that the Lord wants us, I'll say, you as mothers, to take this role seriously and to provide those things that our children need so badly. The affection and the love. And these things overlap, that both parents need to do this. But a mother is equipped so much to provide, to have the emotional support and all of that. Maybe I'll leave that there and let the Lord work on specifics with you this morning. We know, you know, there's a lot of scriptures in Proverbs about correction. And we're probably familiar with all of them. And don't forget about them because they're important. We might feel like, you know, I love my child too much to spank them. But there's a scripture in Proverbs 13 and 24 that says, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." And there's another one that says in 19 and 18, "Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying." I don't go for cruelty in any way. And you know, there's been times when I was worked up. And there's been times this is something I've learned more in recent years, and the Lord's still teaching me, that if I'm worked up in my emotions, I'll go do something for a little bit and tell my child, "You go to my room and I'll be there in a little bit." And then I'll go do something for a little bit, and when I get there, I'm able to administer proper punishment without my feelings being in there so much. May the Lord help us each one. This is in the scriptures. It says, but then you know what it also says? In Ephesians 6 and 4, it says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And I think of another place, and I don't know where it is, but it says, it gives the same words, "Provoke not your children to wrath, lest they be discouraged." We want to be able, and may the Lord help us each one. I'm just telling you what the Scripture says here. And may the Lord work out the specifics in your life. But the Scripture teaches us that while we have the authority, and it's ours, it's something that, it's not something we get to do, it's not something that is a privilege, but I'll tell you, I hate spanking my children. I hate it. But it's something the Lord told me to do. And sometimes spankings don't, I mean, my oldest, I haven't spanked him in years. But there's some other things that you can do. And even when they're younger, sometimes there's things that work better than others. Every child is different. And you're going to have to find out. But I do believe, I'll say this, all of my children have had some spankings. Some more than others. May the Lord help us. But you know, whenever I'm dealing with my children, I'll just tell you one thing that the Lord has given, that has helped me with. There's been times that I've told them, and this is sometimes, I think one time it was after I had made a mistake in judgment, and I came back around and I said, "I'm sorry, I was wrong." But then I followed it up with, "You know, I wish, or part of me wishes, that we could just be just nothing more than friends, and I wouldn't have to do what I do sometimes. But this is the job the Lord gave me. And if I don't do it, I fail the Lord, but I also cheat you." And I want you to realize that I don't take it upon myself because I think I'm always right. And I don't take it upon myself because it's something that I want to do and now I've got the chance to do it. But I take these corrections upon myself because the Lord gave you into my trust. And while I'm not always right, I do the absolute best I can and I believe the Spirit of the Lord will help me. And will you, and I've told them, my children, I want you to recognize that. I want you to recognize that I'm not perfect, but I'm doing the best I can. And not only am I your parent, but at the same time, I want to be your friend. Amen. And I believe that we can avoid violating the scripture about provoking our children to wrath when we do it this way. We don't, as parents, we don't want to come across as wanting to be the top dog. I want to show you how much authority I have. And I'm just going to tell you a lot of the things I'm telling you the Lord has dealt specifically with me about. And I haven't always done it perfect. And I just want to give you what the Lord gave me this morning. We don't want them to think that we just delight in being the top. You ever seen somebody that just likes to throw their weight around? I've worked for people like that. And it left me with a taste in my mouth. Really, I couldn't wait to get to the next job that they were not at. Don't want to work for them. Don't want to have any business dealings with them. Because they're all about showing who's boss. That's not, I want to tell you, that if you have that in you, ask the Lord to help you get it out. Because the Lord wants us to execute our office faithfully. And you know, if we have that attitude, I'm the top dog, guess what our children are going to do when they get to where they can push people around? They're going to do the same thing. May the Lord help us today. I feel like that the Lord, that it's vital that children feel their value. Not in an entitled sense. But, you know, and I've learned, I wish my Uncle Philip Gellenbeck, I wish I would have had more time with him. Because I felt like he did such a good job in this way. And I picked his brain so many times and asked him, how do you do this? And what do you do in this situation? But I, as much as I can, and I can't always do this, and the Lord's teaching me, and I'm learning more about this every little bit, but I believe that it's good for our children to help us do the things that are, like if you're at a work day or something like that, you're helping somebody else, they get so much. It helps their self-worth so much to be able to help in those things. To feel purpose, to feel value, to have responsibility and purpose where they feel like, I helped today. I did something that was worthwhile today. I did something that helped the cause today. Even if they're only handing you stuff. Even if they're just there and 75% of the time there's nothing for them to do, but the other 25% of the time they're holding one end of a board or something like that. May the Lord help us. I know that the temptation sometimes is to just kind of have the attitude that, oh, what are they about to get into? I got to watch the children because they're about to get into trouble, and if I don't watch them. I feel like the Lord dealt with me early on about this one, where instead of assuming that they're just about to do bad, be more surprised. At least come across to them that way. When they do something they shouldn't, say, you know you're not supposed to do that. That's not the way we do things. We do this. We don't do this. This is the way that, and don't let them have the idea that you think they're going to do wrong as soon as your back's turned. But let them know that you have confidence that they can do right. That they can succeed. Many times I've said, you know, I know. This is not, you have more capability than this. You can do better than this. There has to be some correction here, but I want to go from here. I want you to do a better job than this. First John 3 and 16. Hereby we perceive the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And in 4 and 19 it says we love Him because He first loved us. This is something the Lord talked to me about early on also, and later too. And the Lord's still teaching me. You know, sometimes I think that we expect too much of them, because we just think, you know, they don't appreciate us like they should. They don't show, you know, the Lord didn't start out that way with us, did He? He died for us while we were yet sinners. That's a pretty big deal. And I feel like that children are just an investment, and it's a long-term one. And instead of, you know, I feel like a lot of times, remember what I said about children learning things from context? I feel like the Lord dealt with me early on about doing things or telling them things so that they would reciprocate, just so that they would reciprocate. Say, I love you because I want them to say I love you. That, I believe, you know, I want them to say it. I want to hear it. But I want to love them. And I want them to love me because I want the love to come from them because I've been putting love into them this whole time. I want to put into that investment. And sometimes we might not see the return when we want to. And you know, there's returns that I want to see too. But a lot of times returns aren't instant. And they take a while. And you just keep putting in and putting in and putting in. And you don't just tell them, but you do the things that demonstrate, I love you. I care about you. I feel like the Lord talked to me a while back about how much time I was spending with them. We have things that we get caught up in and we're busy, and maybe it's the work of the Lord. But you know, I believe that if you have the work of the Lord and you put it above your children, I believe that does the Lord a disservice. If you do it to the exclusion or to the neglect of your children, I believe it does the Lord a disservice. And so I felt like the Lord talked to me a while back and said, I want you to find some ways to make your children feel more like you really, really love them. And so, one little thing I've been doing is, even if I'm busy and had a long day or whatever, most of the time when I can, I'll go from room to room and spend just a few minutes talking with each one of them. And at first I thought, you know, I don't know if this even does any good. And then a while back there, I had a time when I slacked off and got real busy and was, you know, hit the work for long hours and crash into bed at the end of the day and maybe you can squeeze some worship time in there and all that. And I had a few weeks that I slacked off, and I felt the Lord dealing with me about talking to one of my children. And I said, you know, Daddy wants to be a friend to you. I want you to know I want you to be my friend. And I'm still your authority, and you have to do what I say. But I want to work myself out of a job. I want you to do things more and more as you get older. I want you to learn to do the right things, not because I said so, but because you know that's what's right. And I said, I want to be a friend. And I want to be less a parent and more a friend. And I want that. I want those scales to tip more and more as time goes on. And I said, yeah, tell me, is there anything? Would you like that? And they said, yes, I would. And I said, well, part of being a friend is for us to be able to tell each other things that bother us. So is there anything you'd like me to do better? Anything you'd like me to do different? And after a while, I think at first maybe they said, no, I don't think so. And then after a while, this child said, I wish you'd come talk to me more at night like you used to. Do you know what that made me feel? It made me feel like it made me feel emotional. We want to be our children's friend. Like to turn to Ephesians 4 and 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. You know, you may feel like that you have a call to be a minister, a missionary, song leader, whatever. But you know, if the Lord gave you children, you are called to be a parent. I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And know the Lord did not give children to perfect people. In any case, He gave children to people that make mistakes in judgment, that have to apologize sometimes, that learn as they go along, and maybe by the time, you know, there are things that I wish so bad that I would have implemented 10 years ago, and I didn't know to. But there's another scripture that encourages me so much. And it's 1 Thessalonians 5:24. It says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. You know that if we follow the Lord with all our heart, I know children have to make their own choices. They grow up and they have they make their own choices. But I also believe that we as parents, we can make them where they have the best chance that they can of making the right choice. We can also cripple them. And part of the way that we can cripple them is if we don't let the Lord work on us for the things that we brought into the family. Envy and bitterness and all of the things that, you know, that when the Lord deals with us about things, it's not just for us. But the Lord wants to work a revolution in our lives where the things that are in us that have been grandpa had it and great grandpa had it and daddy had it and I had it, the Lord has the power to stop it with our generation. And it's not enough for us to just tell them, you know, this has been a family problem and I don't want you to have this. And you know, it's not even enough for us to tell our children, you know, I've never been able to conquer this, but I want you to do it. The Lord wants us to be able to seek the Lord with all of our hearts, and He will take the things that have been generational curses, and He can help us to be able to slay our own giants, because it'll help keep those arrows that we're shooting forward sharp and straight. May the Lord help us today. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.